Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
Plug in, feel the pulse on Heart to Heart with Sibongile Mofokeng on Radio Pulpit.
Many people across South Africa are being blessed and encouraged by the Radio Pulpit devotional magazine, The Word for Today. This publication places the gospel of Jesus Christ in the hands of more than 100,000 people every day, inspiring every person, from the professional businessman to the needy person who lives on the streets. Each edition contains daily scripture-based devotionals and inspiring articles to help you grow spiritually. The booklet is given with the compliments of Radio Pulpit, but your donation, large or small, will help us to print the next edition and continue being the hope of the gospel to a world in desperate need. The Word for Today. Get yours today on 012-334-1200 or subscribe online at www.radiopulpit.co.za. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion.
Our family is just getting bigger and bigger. Welcome to 657 AM.
And that's where you are at. You're on 657 AM Radio Pulpit, your daily companion. Give you the sounds of Nathaniel Bassey featuring Ntoko Zombambo and the title of the song, El Shaddai Adonai. And that's how we came out from our 1 o'clock news bulletin. But now in the studio, I have so many surprises. And I think the second surprise, I owe it to Danny Vambili to say thank you for bringing him here. So you made sure that he flies, ne?
I will.
Oh, you will? You didn't make him fly?
No, I made sure he flew into the kite.
I got Danny Vambili in the studio. He's like, I will. No, you have already done it. And what am I talking about? I'm talking about Pastor Ali. Ali. Now yes, I wanted Ali. To say Ellie. Yeah. Ellie.
Yes,
Pastor
<I'm>
Ali. Khosana, how are you, sir?
I'm good. How about you?
Dumedisha mbomma.
Evan, Pazwadi Dumelang.
Do they know you're here?
They actually don't know. They don't know. I should have told my grandmother.
My grandmother
is 99 years of age.
Uh-huh.
And still very strong.
Uh-huh.
I wish I told her, but you know what?
Uh-huh.
She can watch it later.
Okay, so will you be driving home to Limpopo
or
Dumedisha?
After this, go Dumedisha.
Go Tamish. Welcome to Radio Pulpit. Is it your first time here?
It's my first time here, yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Wow.
What a blessing to be here.
Uh-huh.
A blessing to meet you.
Uh-huh.
I'm looking forward to this, actually.
Yeah. I'm already having a great time. I hope you are.
Yeah. I am.
So,
Pastor Danny said a lot about you and good stuff about you.
Oh, my word. Yeah. For Danny. Danny, what did you say?
Just good stuff.
But welcome to Radio Pulpit, and let me welcome you to the family of Radio Pulpit and not to the listeners. We do not have listeners on the show, but we have family members. So you are now joining the family, and you are a family member yourself. So thank you. Thank you for coming through.
Thank you.
You wrote a book called Self-Sabotage, The Enemy of Prophecy.
Yes.
Okay, where did that all come from?
That book has been a long journey of my life in the ministry, and the frustration that I saw in my life as well. And the idea that when you think about Romans 11:29, where it says God's blessings or His giftings are without repentance, and that when God releases His promises to us, those promises that He gives to us, God won't change His mind to
and say, "No, I made a mistake." Alibusa. No, bring back
those blessings.
He wouldn't do
bring
that.
Back that prom- but God doesn't do that.
Yeah.
But what I began to see in my life was that I started holding on to these promises, but allowed situations to speak at a higher volume above the promises of God, and ended up not even doing those things.
Aibo.
And as I started, you know, going to the ministry, and whenever I traveled, I remember last year I was invited in a church to speak in Michigan.
Yes.
And when I was there, a young lady came to me, and she was a worship leader in this church. And this was quite a large church. I mean, you would think that she's accomplished something. And she came to me, started talking to me, and she told me of the things that God has told her, the things that God has said to her.
Mm-hmm.
But she said, I don't understand why can't I walk in the promises that God has given to me?
Hmm.
And I realized, and it was the kind of the attitude of, has God changed his mind?
Hmm.
Has God changed his heart about the promises given to me? And I said, no, he has not. And even at that moment, the Lord began to say to me, he said, my people self-sabotage the incorruptible word and promises that I've given to them.
Okay.
Because for you and I to be able to walk in the fullness of the promises of God, there needs to be a partnership between Rena and God. So, and God is not going to make me walk into his promises. And many times people will hold on to the promises of God and end up not walking in them, not because the promises were not true,
yeah,
but because they've allowed perhaps fear of the unknown. Maybe in the past somebody tried something, it failed, and now God say, I'm going to do this through you. And they take what God has said and say, no, Mudimaka, based on the CV and the resume that I have of the past failures, I'm afraid to step into what you've said I should do. So therefore then they hold back and begin to self-sabotage. I was reminded by the words of Dr. Miles Monroe, who said, if you go to any city and think about what is the richest place in any city,
it's the graveyard.
He said it's the graveyard. Because there lies potential that was never tapped into. But what's the reason for that? The reason for that is that there are people that are lying there and died because they self-sabotaged, they self-destructed.
Sure. Muruti, I've had people even asking questions, how do I know that it was God who said it?
Yeah.
Because now the doubt is like now coming in.
The thing to know, that is why when it comes to, and I'm going to say this and I'll connect it.
Okay.
That is why when it comes to prophecy, it's important to be cemented in the word and understand and read the word. Because how do I know that God is saying certain things? The word becomes my guide.
So and deep will call unto deep.
Deep will call unto deep.
Mm.
But most of the time we say, hey, I've got promises of God. But when you look at it in the words, people will come and say, God said this to me. Mm. And I look at what Bible did this come out from?
Yeah.
You know, it's something that is so off from the word. But when it's cemented in the word and I can align what has been said to me with the word.
With the word.
Then I know. But also the peace that follows that. The peace of the Lord. That sometimes even if a promise is too big, I don't know how I'm going to walk in it. But the peace of the Lord is that witness to me that say, you know what? I might not know how this is going to work out. But in me, I know. I've got this inner peace, this confirmation in my heart that, you know what? If God has said this, this is going to come to pass.
Sure. And so because of self-sabotage, because of allowing circumstances and situations. Okay, here's a young woman that the Lord has spoken into her life. And as she goes, things are not happening and going that direction. And I remember her asking a question, then what do I do? Because I'm pregnant, but I've been forever pregnant, not even able to give birth. Why is God not providing a suitable place for where I would give birth and deliver? So how do you answer to such a person? Because those are the things that we come through.
Is it a literal pregnancy?
Yeah. No. Pregnancy.
I'm pregnant with a promise.
Like you were pregnant with self-sabotage book.
Yeah. Okay. I know. I thought, send that sister to the hospital. Yeah. You know, there's one thing that a lot of us, we fail to understand. And I want to blame it on some religious mindset that we have.
Is it from the teachings that we get?
From the teachings that we've got. And the one word there that most people, they don't understand is the word process.
Yeah.
Everything that God is going to do in my life,
it follows a process.
There's a process. And God is not going to skip the process for you.
Okay.
You know why?
Uh-huh.
He came in the form of man.
Uh-huh.
And he appeared to the temple at the age of 12. We hear nothing about Jesus from the beginning until he's 12. And after 12, we hear nothing. Then he shows up at the age of 30. Why?
There was a process.
And if God will allow, subject himself to the law of the process.
Mm.
Think about it. Even in the natural, you don't fall pregnant today
and then give birth tomorrow.
Tomorrow, and that is a that is a crisis. Then it means you've miscarried, and we have a lot of people that miscarry the promises.
Mm.
And how do they self sabotage? I begin now to be impatient.
Okay.
He said, I've been pregnant for long. God, why is this promise not coming? God, you promised me a husband, and I've been waiting, I've been praying, and Josepha shows up and lies to you. But in your mind, then you're thinking, you know what? Maybe this is God.
I give up.
I'm just going to give in.
No man from here onwards. I'm not taking any proposals.
But
that's what we do.
The problem is that we don't understand process. Show me any character or a man or woman in the Bible.
Sure. Now that you mentioned the word, the name Joseph,
yeah,
he followed another process. Mm. Yes, he saw the stars bowing down to him. He saw other shields bowing down to his one. But there was a long process that he had to go through before he could become that son that stars bowed down to.
And I one thing I say about Joseph that a lot of people don't realize.
Yeah.
In the process, there were stops. The first stop was the stop in the pit when the brothers
sold him. Yes.
They sold him.
Mm.
But that selling was very key because that selling
was a transportation.
Place of destiny.
Mm.
That is a stop.
Mm.
So even with us, in the process, there's a stop in a place of pain, a place of betrayal.
Mm.
Think of Jesus and Judas. Had Judas not kissed Jesus, they would not be able to recognize Jesus, which means crucifixion was never going to be there.
Mm.
So Judas is important. Is a stop in the journey that is painful.
Mm-hmm. He's needed.
He's needed.
Okay.
But he was pointing to a destiny.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Then he ends up in Potiphar's house.
Uh-huh.
The wife.
Then the second stop.
The second stop.
Mm.
That second stop takes him to prison.
Mm.
Why is prison important? With Joseph's process.
That's where he was going to be trained.
Trained, but there are two men that are in prison that
also that will crisis. Bring him out.
And the crisis they have in prison, Joseph in prison is able to solve that.
Yes.
One of them comes out, forgets about him.
The other one, yes,
and the king
we know.
Now has a crisis out there in the palace.
And the other one who's out.
And the guy said, there's a guy in prison. His name is Joseph. He will be able to interpret this dream.
Mm.
But had Joseph looked at prison as a place of defeat and given up there, and even when those men came with dreams, he said, you know what, I give up. I'm not going to do anything. He would have self-sabotaged the palace.
Yeah.
But that's what my book is about. That sometimes we go through those dry places, prison places, a place where you think God is punishing you. But God is not really punishing you. God is saying, are you going to be faithful to me even when you don't see me move, but believe that I'm working things in your life? And those are the moments in the process where the enemy comes to whisper to you and say, Sibongile, it is not going to happen.
Mm.
Sibongile, you have been waiting for long. And he begins to point at other people and say, look at so-and-so. They are prospering.
Mm-hmm.
They don't even love God.
Mm.
They are doing well. They are doing better.
Mm-hmm.
And then you begin now to look at other people's process and begin now to weigh the vision and the promise against that.
Yeah.
And that's how we self-sabotage.
Hmm.
You see, here's the one mistake that we've done in the church. We have not told people about the blessings of hardship.
Are there blessings there?
Oh, they are. They are.
All that we see is doom and gloom.
ask a woman that is giving birth and it's got labor pains.
Uh-huh.
Those pains are important because those pains are speaking to a sign that something beautiful is about to be born.
Mm.
And when the doctor say push, I'm not pushing because I'm miserable. I'm pushing a blessing, but this blessing itself that I'm pushing is tearing me apart out of that pain.
So, Muruti, are you saying that we do not want to pay the price? Because there is a price for every promotion, for every promise, for every prophecy. There is a price to pay.
Yeah. I always say, you got to pay the price for the prize.
Okay.
a prize with a C.
For the prize with a Z.
With a Z. Mm. But most of us want the prize without paying the price.
Mm.
And that's how God operates. Somebody once said, there are no shortcuts to a place worth going.
Mm.
And most of us keep going through the same cycle of pain, cycle of these disruptions that happen because we are uncomfortable with pain.
Mm.
And we have believed the gospel of comfort.
Mm.
And we have allowed even people to speak, especially when it comes to prophecy.
Mm.
We have been sold lies. We have been sold that sow a seed of this much and your blessing will come. Or sow a seed in the word that I'm giving to you because the word that I'm giving you comes from the Lord. And you begin now to pay, to do this transaction. You cannot transact with God with money. There are certain things that God will not allow you to forfeit.
Mm.
Just for you to feel... God is not in the business of making us comfortable. The Bible said the kingdom of God suffers violence.
And the violent shall take it by force.
We read these scriptures, but somehow we think they don't apply to us. We think
we don't want to take it by force.
Yeah, we think God is going to say, you know, Sbongile, I love Sbongile so much. She doesn't have to go through this Jesus. Let's just let her have an easy pass.
Hmm.
But he did not do that for his son.
Hmm.
The Bible says he was crucified. He was put to shame. But what came after that? Resurrection.
Mm. And a number of times they wanted to kill him. They wanted to take his life.
Aha.
Mm.
Look at the lives of, look at almost the lives of all the disciples.
Hmm.
They were martyred.
Mm.
They were killed.
Mm.
The same Peter that we talk about, they say, oh, Peter denied Jesus.
Mm.
He's the guy, when you look at some scholars, they say when he died, he said, when you crucify me, don't crucify me upright.
Turn me upside down. Mm.
Where did that boldness come from?
The other one was boiled in oil.
In oil.
Mm.
And survived.
Mm.
So imagine how John looked when he wrote the book of Revelations.
Mm.
Imagine the pain.
Mm.
But these were men and these were women that you could not have convinced them that there's not a blessing in pain.
Sure.
And my book is all about that. People cut corners. We just think God is going to suspend his whole process just because it's uncomfortable.
What is the necessity for the process?
God wants his promises to be formed in you. He wants his word to form you. And the only way the word can form you is if you wait long enough, allow the crushing. You remember Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane?
Mm-hmm.
Gethsemane, when you look at it, was close to Mount Olive.
Mm.
What happens on Mount Olive? Olives are crushed for the oil. Mm. If you want olive oil, the process of the olive oil, that the olives needs to be crushed. So Jesus
was crushed. He was crushed. And then he would release sweat mixed with blood.
But there it is. He shows us an example that even the Son of Man felt the pain. But did not succumb.
So does religion say to us, because he has gone through that, we shouldn't?
Yeah. I've had people say that. I've had people say, yeah, you know, we don't preach the gospel of suffering. Paul says that I may know him.
Even in the power
of his resurrection. Uh-huh. That's where we stop. We stop there because that's what we love. We love the power of the... And he said...
We don't want sharing of the suffering.
He uses a word there, that is very powerful. And he said, in the fellowship... How do you fellowship suffering? The fellowship of his suffering.
Yes. And then that's where the question comes, why me?
Yeah. Because deep down in us, we love to be victims. Because you know why we love to be victims?
Mm.
Because victim mentality provides for you excuses why you cannot do things or why things are not happening the way you are anticipating for them to happen. It gives you a scapegoat. When people say, but Sbongile, why are your things not working out? Yeah, you know, Mina, the way I grew up. You know, and I'm not saying it in a demeaning way, that there are people that were really abused. There are people that have gone through a lot of pain. But listen, there is a way out for a believer for the pain. He's the one that heals our hearts. But Jesus can never heal a pain that we don't subject and surrender to him. But victim mentality, what it says to us, it says, you know what, I'm the way I am because of my wounds. And my wounds now become a scapegoat of why I don't account to the process and the journey that the Lord wants to put me through.
Most we are delaying his coming.
Yeah.
We are delaying his coming.
We are. That is why we'll fabricate the second coming. I don't know, on the 23rd, they said Jesus was coming.
And there were two loads, Muruti, the 23rd and the 24th.
24th. And now I seen the air flying here from America. I say, yeah,
you were supposed to have gone.
I'm supposed to be going, at least I'll be closer in the air. The Lord will come take me.
But now, because we are not occupying,
yeah,
or our occupying is skew, kind of.
You know,
there's no deliverance, like we are not delivering.
Yeah. Yeah, we're not delivering because we are not patient to wait until you see.
But how patient is patient, Muruti? Because another will say it's been 12 years, 20 years.
Yeah.
How patient is patient?
Patient is patient until God has formed in you what needs to form in you. You see, God will never take you to places in your life where your character won't be able to sustain you. And some of us, the reason why we are still where we are, things are not working, is because every time the Lord wants to adjust my character, I keep on disturbing him.
Okay.
With this mentality of shortcuts, with this mentality that if I'm a Christian, I'll never suffer. Suffering is not for me. I'm the blessed. Yeah, you are the blessed of the Lord. We all understand that. Was Paul not the blessed of the Lord?
He was.
Was Jesus not of the...
Was John not that? Mm-hmm.
So what is it that we think we can read the Bible and look at all these things that happen in the Bible, but Tina, somehow we can be excused?
So how do we then change our mindset? Because it's in the mindset.
Yeah. Paul speaks about, when you read Romans 12, verse 1, people like verse 2. Verse 2 says, be transformed by the renewal of your mind.
Right.
But, and I'm paraphrasing. Verse 1 says, Paul said, I beseech you therefore, my brethren. He said to then give your bodies as a living sacrifice.
As a living sacrifice.
Uh-huh. Sacrifice, anything that is going to be sacrificed needs to die.
Hmm.
Paul says, I die daily.
Hmm.
Right?
Uh-huh.
So, the reason why for that is that we are unwilling to die to self. How do I get to that place? I need to be unwilling to die to things in my own life that are a distraction and an obstacle from, firstly, my relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
Because before a prophecy, before any promise, the most important thing is your relationship with God.
Mm.
And for you and I to have a relationship with God, yes, we give our lives to him.
Mm.
The Bible calls David a friend of God.
Mm-hmm.
You get to the level of friendship with God.
Mm-hmm.
When God brings things into your face, you don't make excuses about when. I'll never forget this. I got saved when I was 18. I was in a boarding school.
Mm-hmm.
It was during winter break. When I got back to the boarding school, the story went around the residence that Ali is saved.
Yes.
You should understand, Ali used to smoke weed three, four, five times a day, drunkard, and they knew who I was.
Mm.
So before I could get to school, after
the news went forth.
And when I got there, I'm telling you this, a lady that was over the girl's residence, I greeted her, she gave my keys to the room, I left.
Mm.
When I left, I was in my room, somebody came and said, Miss So-and-so is so upset with you because she said you showed a bad attitude. And I'm a new Christian.
Mm.
I'm still a new Christian, the Lord is still working through me.
Mm.
And I remember thinking, what does she mean?
Mm.
And I went down. I went to the girl's residence with attitude. I'm gonna tell her. As I was walking there, the Lord said to me, "You need to apologize."
Mm.
Apologize? Why should I apologize? God, I said nothing. And then when I got closer, God said, "Go and apologize."
Mm.
She lied about me. I knew. The Lord said, "Apologize." I went there.
Didn't ask any questions.
I said, "Know what, Mom Betty, I am so sorry for my attitude. Please forgive me." Her eyes went big and I left, but I felt something in me break.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized from that moment that God wanted to test how serious I am with him, that he, when he tells me, when I feel a slight conviction, or when I feel, when he says to me, do this, am I willing to suspend my rights about a situation, even if when I was not wrong, and say, you know what, God, if you said it, I'm going to say I'm sorry. So a lot of us, when it comes to our relationship with God, is not the fact that we have, the problem is not the fact that I've confessed Jesus is my Lord. But the thing is, me ignoring him on a daily basis when he convicts me about things in my life that needs to die. So Paul says in Romans 12, when he said, I beseech you, I beg you to give your bodies as a living sacrifice. Let that body of yours die. And he said, the second thing that you're going to have to do, he said, now you're going to need transformation. And he said, now you are, be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Right.
It's hard to renew a mind that is living and controlled by the flesh. If flesh still has a speaks a louder word in my life, it's hard for me to come to a place of renewal of the mind. If God tells me, Ali, you know what? This about your life, we need to stop it. And I don't do it. And I want to say, God, I want my mind to be renewed. It's so hard to get to that place. So for me, that's how I can answer the question. And I know it's a long answer. That's my nature. I'll not just give a quick answer and an easy answer like that, because it's, these things are connected and it's all in the Word. So what is it that you have died to today? What is it in your life today that you know that is there, that the Lord has been convicting you about? The Lord has been saying, but I need this to change. But you are unwilling to sacrifice that and put it on the altar saying, God, I want this to die in my life. Paul said, I die daily. If Paul was dying daily to the flesh, who am I?
Sure.
Again, it goes back to that shortcut Christianity that we have been giving to people. You pray, you are the blessed of, you are the blessed of the Lord. We know that. But process.
One other thing that I ask myself is, with the declarations that we say upon ourselves, do we even believe them?
We don't, because we think declaration is a magic. That's why we do them.
Sure.
That's why we think some of these are magic. I call them the microwave blessings. I want it now, and I want it on my terms. So
the manner, the attitude is wrong.
It is wrong. It's like, I'll give you an example. I've got an 8-year-old son. If I tell him that, hey, every time you, which is 8-year-old, every time you open the refrigerator, please close it. And he keeps giving it open. And every time, okay, pick up your shoes. He doesn't do that.
Yeah.
But after a while, he comes to me and he says, oh, daddy, I love you. You are the best dad ever in the whole world. Oh, I love you so much.
I'm bribing you.
I look at it and I'm thinking, but you don't do the things that I've asked you
to do. Yeah.
And that's what we do with God. How does love look like to God? It's in the Word. He said, I will know if you do my command, I know that you love me. If you follow my commandments, if you obey me, it's obedience. The love language of God is obedience. It's like my son coming to me, he doesn't obey me, socks are everywhere, I have to, but he comes to me, that's what we do on Sunday, we come and go, oh, Father, I love you, Jesus, I love you, oh, you are amazing. And he said, yeah, but what about the shoes and the socks that I told you to pick up 3 weeks ago, they're still sitting there. You see, most of us want prophecies, and I always say this to people, what have you done with the last prophecy and the promise that God has given to you? Have you obeyed him?
Okay. Yeah, have we obeyed him? Let's take a break. We're coming back. And I think this next song also speaks to us. It says, change my heart. And it comes from Omega Kuno. We're coming back with Pastor Ali Khosana. And he is the author of the book, Self-Sabotage, The Enemy of Prophecy.
Get your daily bread, but also your faith in practice. It's 657 a.m. The sounds of your life.
Do you need prayer? WhatsApp your name and your prayer request to 082-657-2729 and our care center will gladly contact you to pray for you.
Do you read the Word for Today daily devotionals? We wish to ensure that your copy reaches you on time. You can now receive the booklet directly at an address of your choice or via email if you prefer. It's easy. Visit radiopulpit.co.za, select your choice, and update your details. Or SMS the word devotional to 37871. You will receive a reply SMS with the options. Alternatively, contact client services on 012-334-1257. Standard rates apply.
This is Heart to Heart with Sibongile Mofokeng on Radio Pulpit. Heart to Heart.
Many people across South Africa are being blessed and encouraged by the Radio Pulpit devotional magazine, The Word for Today. This publication places the gospel of Jesus Christ in the hands of more than 100,000 people every day, inspiring every person, from the professional businessman to the needy person who lives on the streets. Each edition contains daily scripture-based devotionals and inspiring articles to help you grow spiritually. The booklet is given with the compliments of Radio Pulpit, but your donation, large or small, will help us to print the next edition and continue being the hope of the gospel to a world in desperate need. The Word for Today. Get yours today on 012-334-1200 or subscribe online at www.radiopulpit.co.za. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion.
You are listening to Radio Pulpit, your daily companion. You're on Heart to Heart with me, Sibongile Mofokeng, with you up until 3 o'clock. I'm so not happy with time right now because we only left with 7 minutes just before the 2 o'clock news bulletin. But I'm not alone. I'm with Pastor Ali Khosana, and he is the founder, or should I say the author of the book Self-Sabotage, The Enemy of Prophecy. And as we're talking, have you also found yourself in that space? Have you checked? Are you doing stock taking where you're at as you're listening? Are you saying, but no, Muruti Ngarwe, now you know. Ngarwe, you know me. Gary, you know me. Muruti, do you mind sharing with us your own journey into how you got to the book? Because you say it comes from a personal space where God was dealing with you personally.
A little bit. Yeah, but I really, and some of these stories are in a book, but there's one in particular that my wife and I have been married now, will be, God forgive me, 12 years. If I'm wrong, my wife will forgive me. So,
Alisha.
Yeah.
It's 2013.
So, yeah. My math is correct. So in the beginning, we got married, and my wife is citizen of the United States of America. She's African-American. She came to this country at a church called Happy Christian Church. That's how we met, and we dated, we married. We stayed in South Africa then for 4 years. And what happened after that 4 years, we felt the Lord was saying, no, it's time to move to the United States because I want to use you there. But the backstory behind that was in 2003, I was in Mokopane. I went to a tent crusade, and there was a man from Ghana that looked at me and said to me, hey, God is going to use you greatly in America. So when this was before my wife and all that, then when we got married and now we say we're moving to America, those that word came back, said, wow, God is going to use me greatly in America. Then we moved to America, and it was a sudden thing because we were in America visiting a family for holiday, and we knew that the Lord was transitioning us in South Africa because we had planted a church, but we just took a break and we thought we were going to replant the church. And then when we're in America, a friend of mine said, I feel your son is going to be born in America. My wife was 5 months pregnant back then. And I said, okay. So we had 6 weeks to pack up our lives in South Africa to move to the United States. Mm. So we packed up our lives in 4 suitcases, literally. Mm. That's all we had. Mm. So when we got to America, we lived with an aunt. Mm. She had a double, so we lived upstairs. Mm-hmm. And as a man, as we got there, I could not work because now I'm in this new country.
Yes, yes.
Nobody knows who I am and things like that. Mm. So we stayed with the aunt there, and somehow we connected to a church. Mm. And we found this church, Loving Church. And this church said to us, hey, we see you're about to have a child. We can help with accommodation.
Okay.
And for me, I said, oh, thank God. Mm-hmm. But what they had was a pastor's office. and a secretary's office. So what they did, they converted a pastor's office
into an apartment, into
a bedroom.
Okay.
And between the pastor's office and the secretary's office was a little bathroom with a little shower and a toilet.
Okay.
And a secretary's office. So the secretary's office was our living room.
Okay.
And when we got there, we're in a church, and I'm thinking, my gosh, God, you said you're going to use me greatly in America. Here I am, homeless, if in a way, because, I mean, I'm living in a church. My wife is pregnant. And when my wife gave birth to our son came in the church. And I thought we were going to be in the church for 6 months, because that's a temporary arrangement.
Mm.
But guess what? We're in that church for 2 years.
Hmm.
This is in America.
Mm.
And in that 2 years, I did not preach anywhere.
Mm.
And I started in the ministry at the age of 18.
Mm.
So from 18 years of age, now I'm 37. I've been in this for a while. I've been a pastor. I've planted churches. I've been invited everywhere. I get into America for 2 years. Nobody's
the
giving
silence.
Me chance to, the silence.
Mm.
But on top of that silence, I began to question myself now. It felt like a desert place. Like God,
did I hear God right?
Yeah, yeah, God. But God, you said in 2003 that you're going to use me.
Yeah.
What is going on with this?
Yeah.
And I thought the journey was going to be for 3 years, but for almost 5 years of living in America.
Huh.
We're in a church for that 2 years, and then we moved somewhere. And then after we moved somewhere, God said, go plant a church in a different city.
Uh-huh.
So we moved to that city. To cut the long story short, when you got there, we started gathering people and said, we're planting a church in our house. And now we have a house. And after a month or so, the Lord said, do not start a church. A church will be given to you. I said, God, here's the opportunity for me to do what you've called me to do. I've come to shake this nation.
Mm-hmm.
But for 5 years, 5 to 6 years, I did not have anywhere to preach. But in that time,
mm-hmm.
God was pressing me and forming me, because I believe God was giving me a new voice that I never had. And in that process, I thought the Lord said, I'm going to give you a church. I thought it was going to be, boom, it's going to be like that. We had to wait for 3 years.
Yeah.
And in that 3 years, do you know how many times I wanted to move back to South Africa?
Uh-huh.
Almost every week I'll tell my wife, in the 5 years, I want to go back to South Africa, because at least in South Africa I can be able to provide for you. I could not get a job.
Mm.
And thank God for women of character like my wife. She worked tirelessly to support the vision that God had given to me and given to us as a family. But in that time, I felt horrible as a man. I thought, God, maybe you lied.
Sure.
God, you have lied.
Yeah.
Why? It's 2003. It's 2020 something. God, what happened to the word? But God was saying to me, I want to make sure that your character is formed.
Okay.
In a way that it will match my destiny for your life.
We're coming back after the 2 o'clock news bulletin.
Discover an abundance of life. 657 AM.
Well, there is a time to search and a time to give up, a time to reap and a time to sow. Radio Pulpit wishes to be there at all times, even when you just need prayer. Send us your prayer requests by calling 067-429-7564. Or email it to prayer@radiopulpit.co.za.
Imagine a place where young people can get answers to difficult questions, seek advice on issues that they struggle with, listen to uplifting music, and find relevant and godly content that can help them shape their identity. All this while also having fun in a safe space and environment. Well, the new I Am Youth website is just the place where you can find this and so much more. Go to iamyouth.co.za for an experience that will stay with you for life. I Am Youth. Life Explained.
You and 657 AM and Life, a winning team on the road to eternity.